Okay, welcome everybody. This is Mordechai Plotker discussing Parshas Pinchas tonight. Special best wishes and a happy birthday to Aryeh Perlman. We wish Aryeh and his whole family Arichas Yomim v'Shanim Tovim. And Aryeh, if you have my charger to my laptop, please let me know. I wanted to talk about the question that we have on Pinchas, which is, why is Pinchas, who we know is also Eliyahu HaNavi, invited to the bris? Every single bris we invite Eliyahu HaNavi, we know Eliyahu HaNavi is present. This is the reason why people do not require, it's not required to personally invite anyone to a bris, because everyone is invited. Eliyahu HaNavi is invited just the same, and he doesn't receive a physical invitation, much the same no one else has to. So everybody, when they hear about a bris, they should just simply just go. And there's a lot of brachos that a person can be mispalel for, yeshuos, in Eis Ratzon at the time of Mila. So why is it that we invite Eliyahu HaNavi? Eliyahu HaNavi, as we all know, is also Pinchas. And Pinchas is the one who was Kanoas Kanasi, Besacham, Belokilisius, Ben Yisrael, Bekinasi. That he basically did something that he avenged the pride of the Jewish people, and he caused the plague to cease, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him with Bris Yishol Shalom, which we know is the bris of continuity, that he never dies. And Eliyahu HaNavi seemed to have escaped death by going up in a chariot to Shamayim. So we all know that this is a very enigmatic figure in terms of in terms of longevity. Bris Yishol Shalom, Chazal say Shalom is also Rosh HaTeva Shalom Meis, that he did not die. So there's a lot to be said about Pinchas, but the question is, you know, when we have a bris, you know, why don't we invite Avram Avinu, for example? He's a paradigm of Chesed. What about Yitzchak? He's a paradigm of Yira, which is somebody who's fearless. He's willing to do the ratzon, the will of Hashem, and even if it means dying on you know, for the cause. And Yaakov, Ishtam Yoshev Olam, Yaakov was a person who sat and learned Torah day and night. And Yosef was a person who went out into the darkness of Egypt and brought light into the world. And all the Hasidic masters love to point to Yosef as being the role model, that we all seek that light. So we go to the tzaddik. If we're not the tzaddik, then we become chassidim of the tzaddik. And so Yosef is that light in this vast darkness. And Yosef continued to practice all the teachings of his family, despite the fact that he was so far removed, both physically in terms of space and as well as comfort of his prior surroundings, in his father's house. So I think I was trying to be mechadesh a chiddush on Friday, and someone asked me for a dvar Torah. I was actually driving upstate, and this is the question that came to my head, because if you take the word, if you try to define Pinchas, you will say that he's a zealot, and the word zealot is a term that could be defined in many different ways, but not all of it is positive. The word zealotry refers to somebody who is a fundamentalist. Some will say that maybe that word is synonymous with somebody who is he's not willing to listen to reason. He's very determined and focused, and only what he says goes. Sounds a little bit narcissistic. But it sounds like somebody who, it doesn't really have a positive connotation to it. And so when I was thinking about this, I recalled a Kedushas Levi that talks about different instances of where we find the word kinah mentioned in a pasuk. So for example, the pasuk says, Batzakana Rachel ba'achosa, that Rachel was jealous of her sister. Or that's actually what most people would translate that phrase as. Another one is Kel Kana Vinokim. So someone, when I asked him to translate that, he said, well, he really didn't even know how to translate it, because you can't say that God is a jealous God. Our God, why would God be jealous? If someone goes ahead and takes two plastic forks or spoons or knives and puts them together and says, this is my new God, you would think that the person, you know, it sounds a little strange, right? It sounds strange for someone to create a religion out of nothing, but people can do it whenever they wish. That there's always this option of creating something from scratch, and literally people can create things out of nothing and worship them. So if someone did that, why would God, our God, be jealous? It's more like Rachmanis. Like why would a person do this? But people do it. So in those situations, Kel Kana V'no Keim. Maybe we'll leave it open for discussion. How to translate this, there could be more than one way. The next one is that we see in this week's parsha, it says that Pinchas saw something. Pinchas saw us ben Aaron HaKohen. Hishibas chamasi me'abene Yisrael b'kanoas kenasi b'socham. There's three times in one pasuk, v'lo klisias b'nei Yisrael b'kenasi. There's three times that word is mentioned in that pasuk. And if you translate that word as jealousy, you might have a problem because it doesn't seem to float too well. So what I'd like to propose tonight, in the next minute or so, is a chiddush. That the word kina, and this is a chiddush that I recall this from my chavrusa, my esteemed chavrusa, Rabbi Ram Bakaroth, who had said that the word, one way to translate the word kinasi is, or kina, is jealousy. But the other way of translating it is judgment. So if you take that word and you put it back into the pasuk, batikana Rachel ba'achosa. So was Rachel, God forbid, jealous of her sister Leah? No. What it means is that she judged her sister favorably. My sister has been zocha to have four boys. I don't have any. So maybe there's something that my sister has done that I'm not aware of, that I should be aware of, because if it was made known to me, then I would be able to learn from her and maybe adopt some of her wonderful attributes, midos, wonderful qualities that I may not be aware of, may not be cognizant about. And then you have the pasuk of Kel Kana V'no Keim. What it means in that pasuk is that God judges the situation, and V'no Keim, and in certain circumstances, Hashem decides whether or not there should be some form of ramification or result from behavior that might be contrary to Torah ethos. And the third is in this week's parsha, where we see that the pasuk says, "Bekanoas kinasi b'socham." That if we translate it this way, we say that God judged the situation, but looked for someone to go ahead and do something about it. And that's why the pasuk, the lokalisi, but I didn't destroy it, bekinasi, as a result of my anger. Why? Because there's a person named Pinchas who goes ahead, and he's the one who fixes the situation, because he saw that there was going to be a plague this plague that started between Zimri and Cusbi was going to consume the entire Klal Yisrael. So in order to save Klal Yisrael, there had to be a cessation of the plague, and the only way to do it was to do a bold act, even though he probably recognized that he wasn't going to live through it. The Gemara explains, and so does the Medrash at the end at the beginning of the parsha, at the end of Parsha's Balak, there were 12 miracles that happened to Pinchas when he went in to save Zimri, because Zimri could have defended himself, and yet Pinchas walked out unscathed. He walked out still breathing, and not only that, Pinchas wasn't a Kohen. Pinchas was mocked by the people. They're saying, "Oh, Ben Puti, you're the grandson of Yisro." Granted, he comes from Aaron, but on the other side, he comes from Yisro, right? Because that was his mother's father was Yisro. His mother was married to Elazar, And one of the sisters was also married to Moshe. So Moshe's father-in-law was Yisro, and Pinchas's grandfather was Yisro. So people would say about Pinchas when they saw him, oh, you're a Ben Puti, you're a Ben Puti, you're a grandson of Petuel. And that was a derogatory term because he was somebody who was fattening the idols before they would be shechted. So Pinchas was tormented, and yet the fact that he was able to overcome that adversity is something tremendous in its own right and deserves its own share. But for the purposes of tonight's share, I wanted to close out with a thought as follows. The reason why Pinchas is invited to Ebi Bris is because in life, every one of us is faced with challenges and circumstances and difficult situations that we have to assess and make decisions. And sometimes it's very challenging to make decisions. 9 times out of 10, when we make a decision, that is not consistent with Torah ethos because we're doing it based on jealousy. The word kina means jealousy, but it's the weakest form of judgment. When someone judges someone and they judge them positively, that is unique. That is usually 1 out of 10, if that much. Because if someone sees someone on Shabbos walking around with a phone, they would say, oh, look at this guy. He's not keeping Shabbos. But they may have not realized that he's on Atzala, and maybe he forgot his radio somewhere. Someone judges somebody because they're wearing a certain garment that might not be something acceptable to the way they were raised to wear something on Shabbos, then they too would be judging someone, but that would be also incorrect. So what Pinchas did was he judged the situation correctly, and then he acted upon it. He went straight to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said, Moshe Rabbeinu, if somebody is with an Aramis, then what's the halacha? And Moshe says, I can't say. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. So if you, Pinchas, know what the answer is, meaning you judge the situation in the correct way, then you should go ahead and exact judgment. And that's exactly what Pinchas ended up doing. So the bracha that we have inherent at every bris is the presence of Eliyahu Navi. And if Eliyahu Navi is at that bris, and what we're leaning on is, help this yeled, help this young boy, that when he gets older, surely he will have the midos of an Avraham, of Chesed, of Yira, of Ishtam Yoshev Olim, of being able to light up the darkness. But he has to be able to do all of that with correct decision-making and not weak ones that are not born by something that would stimulate jealousy and trigger a negative assessment. We want a positive assessment, and if we're looking at things in the way that Pinchas was able to do, judging them in the correct way, then this person could be the Mashiach of Klal Yisrael and hopefully usher in the days that Mashiach will come that much sooner. That's the Hashem Yisbarach. This is Mordechai Plotzker wishing you the very best. Thank you for listening to tonight's share. I'll be back Wednesday night, and have a great night.